Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 57. Father, to thee we turn away from sorrow. Thou art the fountain whence our healing flows. Dark though the night, joy cometh with the morning. Safely they rest who on thy love repose. Hymn number 57. Scriptural will be given by Sylvia from Australia.
I will read from Proverbs, Psalms, and Isaiah. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 49. Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Hymn number 49.
Dear Lord and Father.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, and where we talk about this week's lesson and other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you'll also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 every Sunday morning, and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own teleconference number. And many of our students don't live in the area, but attend via telephone. And that means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Just call the church, we'll give you the number, and our Sunday school teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers for all of our meetings and services. So if you do live in the area, you can bring the whole family. We have 18 websites in 18 different languages. This is our missionary work. We are providing the very finest of Christian Science literature around the world and available to many people, often in their own language. And we are very grateful to those of you who translate for us. And we're very grateful for those of you who have found our websites, found our church, and have found the healing power of Christian Science. One of the articles that's being featured now on our English language website, I'd like to point out, is by Mary Baker Eddy, entitled, "Only Love Can Lift You Above It All." In these days of so much hatred being spewed out toward us, it's reassuring to know that only love is going to be able to lift us above all the clamor of the world and rise above it. Very healing article. I recommend it highly. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Tom from Iowa.
Page 624, A Profitable Study. It may help others to know that someone was really healed of severe illness through Christian Science. It is over 9 years since we first became interested in the science, and it will be hard to find a healthier person than I am now. I can go all day, from morning till night, upheld by the thought that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I can truly say that I scarcely know what physical weariness is anymore. Before I came into science, the physician said that one lung was gone and that the other was affected with tuberculosis. So, from their standpoint, there was little left for me to hope for. We had tried every remedy that they had suggested. I had gone to the mountains, but could not stay there on account of the altitude. And when they did not know what else to do, they said we would better go to England, that the ocean air would be beneficial. So we spent 3 months in the British Isles, and when I came back, I seemed much better, but this only lasted a short time. In little more than a month, I was worse than ever, and my mother was told that I had but a few weeks, or at most months, to live. At that time, a lady, a stranger to us, suggested that we try Christian Science. There was no prejudice against it, as we did not even know what it was. We knew of no scientists in the western town where we were living, and when we were told that we could send to Kansas City for absent treatment, we thought it was absurd. We were then told that many people had been healed through the reading of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, and to us this seemed a little worse than the absent treatment, but as we had tried everything we had heard of up to that time, my mother sent for the book. It came in the middle of October, and we began to read it together. It seemed to me from the first that it was something I had always believed but did not know how to express. It seemed such a natural thing. My improvement was very gradual, but I felt I was recovering. After the Christmas holidays, I started in at school and went the whole term without missing a day, something I had never done before. I finished my school course without missing a day. In fact, I have not spent a day in bed since that time. I feel absolutely certain that I have two sound, healthy lungs now. The hollows in my chest have filled out, and I breathe perfectly on both sides. Rarely have a cold to meet and have not a sign of a cough. People sometimes say, oh, well, maybe you never had consumption. Well, I had all the symptoms, and they are everyone gone through the reading of Science and Health. ELB, Chicago, Illinois.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 10 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Everlasting Punishment. The golden text is from Psalms. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The responsive reading is from Isaiah and Joel. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning.
And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to
And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Craig will now read.
The Bible, Psalms. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Matthew. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Proverbs. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Psalm. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Hebrews. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Lamentations. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. I called upon thy name, O Lord. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Isaiah, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool."
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Divine love corrects and governs man. Men may pardon, but this divine principle alone reforms the sinner. To cause suffering as the result of sin is the means of destroying sin. Every supposed pleasure in sin will furnish more than its equivalent of pain until belief in material life and sin is destroyed. To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being. God is love. More than this, we cannot ask. Higher, we cannot look. Farther, we cannot go. The design of love is to reform the sinner. It is related in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel that Jesus was once the honored guest of a certain Pharisee by name Simon, though he was quite unlike Simon the disciple. While they were at meat, an unusual incident occurred. As if to interrupt the scene of Oriental festivity, a strange woman came in. Mary Magdalene, as she has since been called, approached Jesus. Did Jesus spurn the woman? Did he repel her adoration? No, he regarded her compassionately. Nor was this all. Knowing what those around him were saying in their hearts, especially his host, that they were wondering why, being a prophet, the exalted guest did not at once detect the woman's immoral status and bid her depart. Knowing this, Jesus rebuked them with a short story or parable, and so brought home the lesson to all, following it with that remarkable declaration to the woman, "Thy sins are forgiven." Why did he thus summarize her debt to divine love? Had she repented and reformed? And did his insight detect this unspoken moral uprising? She bathed his feet with her tears before she anointed them with the oil. In the absence of other proofs, was her grief sufficient evidence to warrant the expectation of her repentance, reformation, and growth in wisdom? Which was the higher tribute to such ineffable affection? The hospitality of the Pharisee or the contrition of the Magdalene? This query, Jesus answered by rebuking self-righteousness and declaring the absolution of the penitent. Sorrow for wrongdoing is but one step towards reform, and the very easiest step. The next and great step required by wisdom is the test of our sincerity, namely reformation. To this end, we are placed under the stress of circumstances. Temptation bids us repeat the offense, and woe comes in return for what is done. So it will ever be, till we learn that there is no discount in the law of justice. Sin is forgiven only as it is destroyed by Christ, truth and life. Reform comes by understanding that there is no abiding pleasure in evil, and also by gaining an affection for good, according to science, which reveals the immortal fact that neither pleasure nor pain, appetite nor passion, can exist in or of matter. While divine mind can and does destroy, the false beliefs of pleasure, pain, or fear, and all the sinful appetites of the human mind. Evil is sometimes a man's highest conception of right, until his grasp on good grows stronger. Then he loses pleasure in wickedness, and it becomes his torment. The way to escape the misery of sin is to cease sinning. There is no other way. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he who refuses obedience to God is chastened by love. When the publican's wail went out to the great heart of love, it won his humble desire. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The suppositions that sin is pardoned while unforsaken, that happiness can be genuine in the midst of sin, that the so-called death of the body frees from sin, and that God's pardon is aught but the destruction of sin, these are grave mistakes. A sinner can receive no encouragement from the fact that science demonstrates the unreality of evil, for the sinner would make a reality of sin, would make that real which is unreal, and thus heap up wrath against the day of wrath. He is joining in a conspiracy against himself, against his own awakening to the awful unreality by which he has been deceived. Only those who repent of sin and forsake the unreal can fully understand the unreality of evil. This conviction that there is no real pleasure in sin is one of the most important points in the theology of Christian Science. Arouse the sinner to this new and true view of sin. Show him that sin confers no pleasure, and this knowledge strengthens his moral courage and increases his ability to master evil and to love good. The sharp experiences of belief in the supposititious life of matter, as well as our disappointments and ceaseless woes, turn us like tired children to the arms of divine love. Then we begin to learn life in divine science. Through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity, which are the landmarks of science. Both sin and suffering will fall at the feet of everlasting love.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 136. I love thy way of freedom, Lord. To serve thee is my choice. In thy clear light of truth I rise, and listening for thy voice, I hear thy promise old and new that bids all fear to cease. My presence still shall go with thee, and I will give thee peace. Hymn number 136.
Thank you. have lost the awe of you. Have mercy, have mercy.
Let's now sing hymn number 395. Word of life, most pure, most strong, lo, for thee the nations long. Spread till from its dreary night all the world awakes to light. Hymn number 395.
Word of life, most pure, most strong.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, on the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen.